Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. And I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad. We have an interesting program for you tonight. As you know, last week we got into some very sciencey, spiritualistic type of discussion with regards to tangled hierarchies and how these tangled hierarchies are applied to the world as you exist and I exist today. Today's conversation, and if you wish to join in, the call-in number is 563-999-3089. This is Not So Mad Science. Again, that call-in number is 563-999-3089. Tonight's conversation revolves around dark matter, dark energy. What is it? Does it really exist? Where is it? Can you see it? Can I touch it? Can I find it? We're going to take what is considered to be one of the most, if not the most, important scientific discovery, or lack thereof, of the modern era, to yet be understood, pioneered, and study. And we're going to take a good hard look at it, and then I'm going to give a rather simple and I believe more than plausible explanation for what dark matter is, why it is, where it is, and how it can be applied to yourself. To that end, I'm going to share an opening piece of music that I believe to be appropriate and pertinent to the subject from Sam Cooke. A change is going to come. And immediately at the end of the change, we'll jump right into our discussion. Once again, the call-in number is 563-999-3089. We'll be right back.
Running
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me, don't. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Today's discussion is dark matter, dark energy. What is it? Where is it? Can we find it? Can I touch it? We're going to begin our discussion with the book of Genesis. And I'm going to read a translation of the book of Genesis from, not from the King James Version of the Bible, but from the Douay-Rheims Version, which predates the King James Version by several hundred years. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the water. And God said, be light made, and light was made. And God saw the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning one day. And God said, let there be a firmament made amidst the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters that were under the firmament from those that were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God also said, let the waters that are under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was done. It was so done. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, keep this in mind. This is the opening chapter in verses 1 through 10 of Genesis in the Douay-Rheims version of the Bible. Now, I'm going to share with you a poem that we discussed last week in our discussion of tangled hierarchies. The poem goes, the seed of mystery lies in muddy water. How can I perceive this mystery? Water becomes still through stillness. How can I become still? By flowing with the stream. I want you to keep this in mind as we begin to delve into the modern science of dark matter and dark energy. Because these two, the poetic license used in the Douay-Rheims version of the Bible, and the poetry from the book that I just read called The Self-Aware Universe by Amit Goswami. Dark matter, dark energy. Most of the universe is made up of dark energy, or it is posited and theorized to be such. It's a mysterious force that drives the accelerating expansion of the universe. The next largest ingredient is dark matter, which interacts with the rest of the universe only through its gravity. Normal matter, including all the visible planets and galaxies, make up less than 5% of the total mass of the universe. Does this make sense? How can this be so? We cannot account for the presence of the dark energy, only its impact. We cannot account for the existence or the materialness of the dark matter, only its impact. So what is the evidence for dark energy? Keep that question in mind as we continue forward. Because it is the question raised by space.com. So we're going to look for an answer. The question, what is dark matter? If roughly 80% of the mass of the universe is made up of material that scientists cannot directly observe, is known as dark matter, this bizarre ingredient does not emit light or energy. So why do scientists think it dominates? Studies of other galaxies in the 1950s first indicated that the universe contained more matter than seen by the naked eye. Support for dark matter has grown, and although no solid direct evidence of dark matter has been seen or has been detected, there have been strong possibilities in recent years. Motions of the stars tell you how much matter there is, according to Peter von Dokkum, D-O-K-K-U-M. He's a researcher at Yale University. He said in a statement that, quote, they don't care what form the matter is. They just tell you that it's there. End quote. Von Dokkum led a team that identified the galaxy Dragonfly 44, which is composed almost entirely of dark matter. The familiar material of the universe, known as baryonic matter, is composed of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Dark matter, maybe, made of baryonic or non-baryonic matter to hold the elements of the universe together. Dark matter must make up approximately 80% of its matter. This missing matter could simply be more challenging to detect, made up of regular baryonic matter. Potential candidates have included, or do include, dim brown dwarfs, white dwarfs, or neutrino stars. Supermassive black holes could also be part of the difference. But these hard-to-spot objects would have to play a more dominant role than scientists have observed to make up the missing mass, while other elements suggest that dark matter is more exotic. We shall see. Most scientists think that dark matter is composed of non-baryonic matter. They have no evidence, just what they think. The lead candidate are WIMPs, W-I-M-P-S, the acronym for Weakly Interacting Massive Particles. WIMPs have 10 to 100 times the mass of a proton, but their weak interactions with normal matter make them difficult to detect. Neutralinos, massive hypothetical particles, heavier and slower than neutrinos, are the foremost candidate, though they have yet to be spotted. Think of it in terms of this: dinosaurs. These massive creatures that are supposed to, I should say, have existed millennia before man came into existence. That we have these Jurassic periods and these Cretaceous periods named for when these supermassive animals existed. But the evidence, the true actual evidence of such, really is not there. They say that geologists and archaeologists have unearthed bones that suggest that these animals existed. Truth be told, that is primarily guesswork, because the only real evidence of these supermassive animals have been for the great white whale. Correction, not the great white whale, I'm thinking Moby Dick, but the blue whale. The largest earthbound animal ever to have existed. Brontosaurus and Tyrannosaurus Rex and the Supersaurus, these things are theorized based on partiality of skeletal remains that they cannot account for. Were there mastodons? Yes, why? We found full skeletons of such. Stegosaurus, yes, that animal really did exist. Why? The full skeletal remains of Stegosaurus was there, precursors to what we would call a rhinoceros. But these other animals that are 200 and 300 tons in size, come on now, we're reaching. This is what we're looking at in terms of these hypothetical particles that are heavier and slower than neutrinos, are the foremost candidate for something they have yet to be able to find. The math has not been proven out. Other candidates suggest something called sterile neutrinos. Neutrinos are particles that don't make up regular matter. A river of neutrinos stream through the sun every day. Every single day. But because they rarely interact with normal matter, they pass through the earth and its inhabitants, people. They pass through, passing through you and I right now. There are three known types of neutrinos. A fourth, the sterile neutrino, is proposed as a dark matter candidate. The sterile neutrino would only interact with regular matter through gravity. In quoting Teich de Jong, an associate professor of physics and astronomy at Michigan State University, and a collaborator on the Ice Cube experiment, he told Space.com, and I quote, "One of the outstanding questions is whether there is a pattern to the fractions that go into each neutrino species." End quote. The smaller neutral axion and the uncharged photinos are also considered to be potential placeholders for dark matter. According to a statement by Gran Sasso National Laboratory in Italy, the LNGS, and I quote, "Several astronomical measurements have corroborated the existence of dark matter, leading to a worldwide effort to observe directly dark matter particles' interactions with ordinary matter in extremely sensitive detectors, which would confirm its existence and shed light on its properties. However, these interactions are so feeble that they have escaped direct detection up to this point, which is forcing scientists to build detectors that are more and more sensitive." A third possibility exists, that the laws of gravity that have thus far successfully described the motions of objects within the solar system must require revision because they've gotten it wrong. This is Not So Mad Science. And I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, we're going to take a brief musical interlude to pay the bills to keep me on the air. To that end, let's see what we can do with a little bit of, oh, one of my favorites. One of my all-time favorites. D-Train, because I want you to keep on keeping on.
This is a DJ Skate. Cool Smash. Cool Smash.
Keep on
If the definition of gravity needs to be revisited, then how can science or scientists begin to prove what they do not see? This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Proving the unseen. If scientists can't see dark matter, and once again, we're using some information that has been provided by space.com, a noted science journal. If scientists can't see dark matter, how do they know it exists? Scientists calculate the mass of large objects in space by studying their motion. Astronomers examining spiral galaxies in the 1950s expected to see material in the center moving faster than on the outer edges. Instead, they found the stars in both locations traveling at the same velocity, indicating the galaxies contained more mass than could be seen. Studies of the gas within the elliptical galaxies also indicated a need for more mass than found in visible objects. The question. Clusters of galaxies would fly apart if the only mass they contained were visible to conventional astronomical instruments. Albert Einstein showed that massive objects in the universe bend and distort light, allowing them to be used as lenses by studying how much light is distorted by the galaxy clusters. Astronomers have been unable to create a map of dark matter in the universe. All these methods provide a strong indication that most of the matter in the universe is something yet unseen. So we got to experiment to see what we come up with, right? Although dark matter is different from ordinary matter, there is believed to be a number of experiments working to detect the unusual material. The AMS, the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, a sensitive particle detector on the ISS, the International Space Station, which has been orbiting since its installation in 2011. So far, AMS has tracked more than 100 billion cosmic ray hits in its detectors. AMS lead scientist Samuel Ting, a Nobel laureate with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the famed MIT, he told this to space.com, and I quote, "We have measured an excess of positrons, the antimatter counterpart to an electron. And this excess can come from dark matter. But at this moment, we still need more data to make sure it is from dark matter and not from some strange astrophysics source." According to Ting, this will require a few more years. Again, they're guessing. Back on Earth, beneath a mountain in Italy, the LNGS's Xeon 1T is hunting for signs of interactions after WIMPs, the WIMPs, collide with Xeon atoms. The lab recently released its first results of the experiment, and I quote those results. A new phase in the race to detect dark matter with ultra-low background massive detectors on Earth has just began with the Xeon 1T project, according to spokesman Eleanor April. She's a professor at Columbia University. She said in a statement, "We are proud to be at the forefront of the race with this amazing detector, the first of its kind. But still, as yet, they found nothing. The large underground Xeon dark matter experiment, the LUX, is seated in a gold mine in South Dakota. Has also been hunting for signs of WIMPs and the Xeon interactions. To date, the instrument has not revealed the mysterious matter." Now I'm going to stop right there because I need everyone to think on that for a moment. And I'm going to give you exactly 6 minutes 16 seconds with a tune from the Ivy Brothers to think on that before I give you an answer. It seems we are experiencing some technical difficulty, that we don't seem to hear the music. Because we lost about 3 minutes of live airtime, so I do apologize to you greatly. But I have the problem corrected, and we're going to get right back at it. We can't afford to miss out on this fascinating subject that we're discussing today. Once again, if you have a question, and you'd like to call in, that number is 563-999-3089. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Let's get back to it. The Large Underground Xeon Dark Matter Experiments, the LUX, has not found anything as yet. They have what they call the Ice Cube Neutrino Observatory, an experiment buried under Antarctica's ice. It too is hunting for sterile neutrinos. Sterile neutrinos only interact with regular matter through gravity, making it also a strong candidate for dark matter. Other instruments hunt not for dark matter, but for its effect. The European Space Agency's Planck spacecraft has been building a map of the universe since it was launched in 2009. By observing how the mass of the universe interacts, the spacecraft can investigate both dark matter and its co-partner, dark energy. Now, it's not called dark matter or dark energy by accident. And I want you to keep that on your mind. There's a reason for that. In 2014, NASA's Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope made maps of the heart of the Milky Way in gamma ray light, which revealed an excess of gamma ray emissions extending from its core. The signal we find cannot be explained by currently proposed alternatives, and is in close agreement with predictions of very simple dark matter models. Lead author Dan Hooper, an astrophysicist at the Fermi Lab in Illinois, he told this to space.com. They're unsure. They don't know. The excess can be explained by an annihilation of dark matter particles with a mass between 31 and 40 billion electron volts. These are astronomical numbers. And believe me, I'm going to give you some simple clarity a little bit later on. Just hang in there with me. The researchers said the result is not considered a smoking gun for dark matter, as additional data from other observing objects and or direct detection experiments would be required to validate their interpretation. So why the two types, dark matter versus dark energy? Although it is posited that dark matter makes up most of the matter of the universe, it is believed that it makes up only about a quarter of the composition. The universe is said to be dominated by dark energy. That would stand to reason, to make sense, that for every physical substance, it takes energy to move that substance. Therefore, the energy to move the substance has to be greater than the substance it is moving. Consider an object that weighs 1 pound would need 2 pounds of force to move it. A pound equal in mass or size to the object, and then another phase or another an additional weight equal to that same mass, doubling it in size, would be needed to move it. After the Big Bang, the universe began to expand outward. Scientists once thought that it would eventually run out of energy, slowing down as gravity pulled the objects inside it together. Oh yeah? But the studies of distant supernova revealed beyond no doubt that the universe today is expanding faster than it was in the past, not slower, indicating that the expansion is accelerating. This could only be and would only be possible if the universe contained enough energy to overcome gravity or dark energy. So I'm going to go back to where we started. If most of the universe is made up of dark energy, a mysterious force that drives the accelerating expansion of the universe, and the next largest ingredient is dark matter, which interacts with the rest of the universe only through its gravity, what is left is normal matter, including all the visible stars, planets, and galaxies, makes up less than 5% of the total mass of the universe. The question becomes, why is it you cannot find over 95% of what is supposed to be there? How do you hide 95% of something from ever watchful, ever looking eyes? Is it magic, like the magician who makes you see a coin here with misdirection? It's really over there and you got lost, you got tricked? Is that it? It's a magic act? Astronomers have noted that the universe has expanded at different rates throughout history. They believe for the first half of the universe's life, following the Big Bang and what they call the inflationary era, the expansion slowed down. Then the math, they say, calculates out that after 7 billion years, or 7 billion years ago, the expansion began to accelerate. Why? That question must be answered. If I understood why, I could tell you what. Or at least that's the way a lawyer thinks with regards to law. If he can understand why a crime was committed and how it was committed, he could tell you who committed the crime. So I'm going to ask another question. What is dark energy? There are those who believe that dark energy can be thought of as quintessence, or a fifth fundamental force following the known forces of gravity, electromagnetism, and the strong and weak nuclear forces. These possibilities include, according to Space.com, the Scalar Seal, S-C-A-L-A-R, A scalar is a value that varies or scales in magnitude, but it does not have a direction. Examples of scalars are mass and volume. Other suppositions or possibilities include what is called chameleon particles. These hypothetical or unknown particles that cannot be proven vary in mass according to the surrounding density of energy. On Earth, the particle would not be detectable. In the emptiness or the void of intergalactic space, the particle would gain mass. Again, those two possibilities are suppositions. So what is the actual evidence for dark matter? Astronomers can see light bent from the gravity of invisible objects, a phenomenon called gravitational lensing. Imagine you're running down the highway at breakneck speeds, and all of a sudden something causes your car to bang, crash, and bounce off in another direction. You didn't see anything. You didn't recognize that anything was there. But the damage to your vehicle is very real. That would be an example of the evidence for dark matter. Something is there, you just can't see it. You can't detect it. Your light from your vehicle doesn't shine on it, but it's there. So, with the evidence for dark matter, this can all be accounted for if there is a large amount of invisible matter tied up in each galaxy, contributing to its overall mass and rotation rate. But I'm going to tell you this. The scientists of today can tell you more about what dark matter isn't than what it is. Dark matter is just that, dark. It emits no light and cannot be seen directly. So it cannot be stars or planets. Dark matter is not clouds of normal matter. Normal matter particles are called baryons. If dark matter were composed of baryons, it would be detectable through reflected light. Dark matter is not antimatter. Antimatter annihilates matter on contact. The producing result is called gamma rays. Astronomers do not detect enough of them to account for dark matter. Dark matter is not black holes. Black holes, are gravity lenses or wells that bend light. Dark matter composed of black holes would create more lensing events than astronomers detect. So they're not black holes. What is it? What other powerful force is there that we cannot see, we cannot touch, we cannot detect, that we cannot account for, that we actually know of, but we overlook it for it to be what it is. We know what it is. We know how fast it is. Or we know what its average rate of speed is. Thought. The fastest thing faster than light. 24 billion miles per second on average. So whose mind is at work that exceeds the speed of average into the astronomical? Thought. It is the most powerful force in existence because a thought cannot be stopped once it has begun its motion. A thought penetrates the thickest of walls. It is thought that brings all things into the material existence. It is thought that can stop anything from moving, can lift any object, can create or destroy. But I'm going to give you another, if not more simplistic, understanding of what dark matter is by one of the greatest thinkers of the modern era. She was a student. It is a student. One of the greatest students of one of the greatest minds of our time. He was considered to be and known to be by millions as one of the wives of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mother Tineta Muhammad, a mother of the nation, a mother of the faithful. It is in her writings, under the title Unveiling the Number 19, that I found this quote. She writes, "Our ability to think through darkness into light is a process of evolution and the gift of mind. Our mind's thinking is like the universe itself. It is like a force operating in the dark, constantly pulling objects into our view, in continuing our study of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, let us imagine that this mirror on the wall is the reflective image of our expanding universe and its orbit in space-time. As we peer into this vast void of seemingly nothingness, we are looking into the essence of dark matter, reflecting what we see on the other side. In order to see a clear reflection in the mirror, there has to be a dark side. And there is a dark side of the moon, as there is a dark side of the moon in space. She writes, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us that the dark side of the moon is never visible to our sight because of the attracting power of the light of the sun on this object in relationship to the earth. Thus, We only see our part. We see only partially through the darkness as the light of our mind and the understanding will permit us to see. This is the truth of the reflection we see in a glass mirror, which is only made possible through a dark side. This is somewhat like our universe itself. It is streaming full of dark matter and dark energy, which allows us to see the light filtering through to more light. So our mind is compared to the universe itself. It is the embodiment of darkness. Yet light and its inspiration comes through the dark like the light of a full day's sun. Let us take the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and metaphorically carry this image to Grimm's fairy tale into the universal order of things. We have a star system of things called the Pleiades, comprised of seven key stars, archetypes as the seven sisters of a king, and the central star named Alcyon. Some scientists believe that the sun and other solar systems rotate around these heavenly bodies or star constellations once every 26,000 years to complete the great astronomical year or cycle before repeating itself again in another cycle of time. The phenomenon of the dwarf planets and the dwarf stars, also used in the heavens to describe the orbital bodies in space that have not obtained their full maturity as planets or even as notable stars. Yet they are evolving and orbiting, producing life to sustain our universe. Since 2012, the planet Pluto, the ninth object in orbit around the sun in our solar system, has been reduced by some scientists as a dwarf planet. Yet, she maintains her reputation as being named after the Greek god of the underworld, abundance and wealth, though it is icy and cold. This was written by Mother Tynetta Muhammad. Oh, I'm going to say Her explanation for dark matter and dark energy is as if with a mirror. A mirror is non-reflective until the black, dark surface is placed behind the glass, so that as you peer into it, it reflects itself or the light back to you, such that the lens in your eye is able to then pull in information to create an image. Is not dark matter and the dark energy of the universe, its presence allows us to see the light which reflects off those heavenly bodies that we call stars and planets and other objects in the solar system and in outer space, that we can detect them because of the reflective nature of the dark matter and dark energy that is there, so that we can see something. It's a mirror. It is a lens. But it is driven by a thought. That thought is called I am. And for all those who have a religious background or some form of religious study, we all can agree, regardless of what our state, there is but one person who said, I am. Let us continue our discussion with regards to dark energy and dark matter. In the early 1990s, one thing was fairly certain about the expansion of the universe. It might have enough energy density to stop its expansion and recollapse. Or it might have so little energy density that it would never stop expanding. But gravity was certain to slow the expansion at time or as time went on. Granted, the slowing has not been observed, nor does the mathematics calculate out that it will ever slow down expanding. But theoretically, they were saying that the universe had to slow. The universe is full of matter, and the attractive force of gravity pulls all matter together. Then came 1998 and the Hubble Space Telescope Observatory. Observation of very distant supernova showed that a long time ago, the universe was actually expanding more slowly than it is today. So the expansion of the universe has not been slowing down due to gravity. Gravity is not strong enough to slow it down. Definitely not so as everyone thought it had been. In fact and in truth, it has been accelerating. None of today's scientists expected this. No one knows or knew, based on today's modern science, how to explain that. But something was causing it. Eventually, the theorists came up with three sorts of explanations. Maybe it was a result of a long-discarded version of Einstein's theory of gravity, one that contained what was called a cosmological constant. Maybe there was some kind of energy fluid that filled space. Maybe there's something wrong with Einstein's theory of gravity, and a new theory could include some kind of field that creates this cosmic acceleration. Truth of the matter is, these theorists don't know, still don't know, and the only tangible evidence of proof that does exist, they refuse to accept it. All they have done is give it a name. And the name is called dark energy. More unknown than is known. We know how much dark energy there is because we know how it affects the universe's expansion. Other than that, it's a complete mystery. But it's an important mystery because 68% of the universe is dark energy, give or take. Dark matter, the physical tangible portion, takes up about 27%, of which they cannot detect that either. They just know it's there. The rest of everything on Earth and everything everywhere else observed with our instruments or what is called normal matter calculates up to be less than 5% of the known, viewable, tangible universe. And in truth, it shouldn't be called normal matter at all, since it is a small fraction of the universe. But typical, as with most colonialists, the conqueror, or one who believes themselves to be a conqueror, will write a history and call a thing that is less than the thing that is greatest. I'll slap my name on it because I can, to give the impression that I'm something that I'm not. Traditional, typical colonialist thinking. One explanation for dark energy is that it is a property of space. Albert Einstein was the first person to realize that empty space is not nothing. He admitted to this. What we believe to be empty space has amazing properties, many of which are just now beginning to be understood. The first property that Einstein discovered is that it is possible for more space to come into existence. Then one version of Einstein's gravity theory, the version that contains a cosmological constant, makes a second prediction. Empty space can and does possess its own energy, because this energy is a property of the space itself. It would not be diluted as space expands. As more space comes into existence, more of the energy of space would appear. As a result, this form of energy would cause the universe to expand faster and faster. Unfortunately, there's science today. No one understands why the cosmological constant would even be there, much less why it would have exactly the right value to cause the observed acceleration of the universe. That is a direct quote from an article written in Science Beta, the NASA researcher's blog, called Universe. They're admitting to it because it quantifies, qualifies, and validates the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he said that when that self-created one brought himself into existence, it was by the will and the power of his thought that all things began to move. That magnetism that draw things to itself and then gave birth to itself when it said, I am, and he was present. I was a light unto myself. I was a light into the darkness. There's more I could share about that, but that's a show for another day. My particular individual explanation of dark matter and dark energy, but it's so ecclesiastical it would not fit into this particular time frame at the moment. It is a subject that I covered in my physics class when I was teaching physics. But modern day science has another explanation for how space acquires energy, which comes from the quantum theory of matter. But again, you got to look, the words that are being used is theory. And I'm not making this up, because all it is theory. And a theory is not what? Truth. A theory is not what? Fact. It is not an actual fact that cannot be doubted in any fashion. It is a theory, a guess. So in this guess, empty space is actually full of what is called temporary or virtual. Virtual means something that really isn't. Particles that continually form and then disappear. But ironically, when physicists try to calculate how much energy this would give empty space, the answer kept coming out wrong. And not just wrong, it was wrong by a lot. The number came out to be 10 to the 120 exponent. 10 to the 120th exponent times too big. That's a 1 with 120 zeros after it. It's hard to get an answer that bad. No, man. So the mystery continues. Another explanation for dark energy is that it's a new kind of dynamical energy fluid or field. Wrong answer. Something that fills out all of space, but something whose effect on the expansion of the universe is opposite of that of matter and normal energy. Some theorists have named this quintessence, after the fifth element of the Greek philosophers, as if they knew anything that was original, since we know that Greek philosophy is stolen philosophy. Or did you not read the book by the great historian George G.M. James, Stolen Legacy? But if quintessence is the answer, we still don't know what it's like, what it reacts with, or why it exists. So the mystery, according to modern day science, will continue. A last possibility is that Einstein's theory of gravity, as I stated before, is not correct. That would not only affect the expansion of the universe, but it would also affect the way that normal matter in galaxies and clusters of galaxies behave. This fact would provide a way to decide if the solution to the dark energy problem is a new gravity theory or not. I'm going to say not. It's not that a new theory of gravity is needed, but a better understanding of who the source of truth is. But if it does turn out that a new theory of gravity is needed, what kind of concept, idea, or theory would it be? How could it correctly describe the motion of the bodies in the solar system, as Einstein's theory is known to do? But his theory explains it, but his theory is wrong. And still give us the different predictions for the universe that we need. There are candidate theories, but none are compelling because they each end up in the same place that Einstein's theory ended up. So again, the mystery continues. The thing that is needed to decide between dark energy possibilities, a property of space, a new dynamic fluid, or a new theory of gravity, is more data, better data, greater data from a master teacher. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. So we're coming down to the last 5 minutes, 25 seconds of tonight's program. And I pray, Allah, that the discussion was insightful, beneficial, thought-provoking, and driven to cause you to explore yourself. There's a greater teacher out here. There's a better teacher out here. And we can no longer continue to ignore these teachers, nor the evidence of the proofs that they have given, which is not based in theory, but based in facts. Not just standard normal facts, but actual facts that are redoubtably undoubtable and can be proven in no limit of time. I was once told, why do you keep dealing with what you know, the science is what you can prove, or this, why can't you just believe? Belief is nothing without proof and evidence to show cause and why. Who am I? What am I? Why am I? These are the questions that we are born with when we come into existence in the world. Mommy, who am I? Daddy, why am I? Well, son, you just got to believe that you were born. Well, how the hell was I born, Dad? We cannot escape these questions. We will always be challenged through some form or another to give reason of why we believe what we believe. And if we cannot fight the good fight to give an answer, we lose something. We lose something, and we can afford to lose no more. We have lost many great minds in our sojourn these 400 plus years in this place. We can't lose anymore. We've lost so many souls. We've lost too many spirits. How much more are you willing to endure? How much more? We open with a piece of music from Sam Cooke that says, it's been a long time coming, but a change is going to come. You damn Skippy is going to come. It'll either come as the sweet taste of honey in the mouth, or a hard crushing boot to your ass. It'll either get stomped into you, or you can take it and it be palatable to grow. Growth, when it is forced upon you, is painful. But growth, because you chase it down, growth achieved because you want it, is the sweet song of the greatest word anybody could ever hear. And is the sweet song of hearing their own name called out, so that all can hear it. Everybody wants to go to a place where everybody knows their name. Now, I'm not talking about a bar named Cheers. I'm talking about the heart experience in a relationship. So I say to you, keep on. The firmament was separated from the waters, with water, which means existence began in a fluidic existence. Water in scripture does not, the water that you see flowing downstream. The description of dark energy is fluidic. The description of dark matter is the firmament separated from the waters that we walked upon and floated upon the earth by fluidic space. We must grow and understand our language better, because this is Not So Mad Science. And I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network, leaving you as I come to you, as your brother, your friend, your teacher, your guide, who is led, who is taught, who is guided by a greater teacher than himself. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. We'll talk next week.